Okay, again, Shalom Aleichem. Shara b'china perek shishi im yirtzeh Hashem. If you have the Lev Tov edition, it's page Kuf Ayin He. Otherwise, again, Shara b'china, the sixth perek. If you don't have a sefer, or if you can't find a place, I think you'll be okay. So let's begin. We've been studying the subject of learning to notice Hashem's chasadim, how all-encompassing they are, how much chesed is in our lives, how we're drowning in Hashem's chesed. And the Chovos HaLevavos considers this really the basis for our service of Hashem, the basis for our function as Oivdei Hashem, as loyal devotees of Hashem. It should be stemming from a sense of gratitude and from a sense of appreciation. So now in this perek, the Chovos HaLevavos will describe what are the things that work against Bechina in order for us to avoid them. This is common. You see in the Chovos HaLevavos and in the Mesilas Yesharim that whenever they introduce a midah, they also want to make you aware of its pitfalls so you can know to avoid them. So let's see. Ach mafsidei habechina v'advarim atluyim ba. What are the things that work against bechina? Against gaining a sense of Hashem's chesed. Oymar. So we'll say as follows: Ki kol advarim mafsidim es hayichud, asher ikdamnu zichron b'shar harishon, kulam mafsidim habechina. Back in the first shah, which we did not learn, in the first shah, Shah Yichud, where the Chovos HaLevavos basically established Hashem's oneness and explained what it means, he said there are a number of things that work against really internalizing Hashem's oneness, and they'll also work against Bechina. We'll put that on hold for a moment, we'll continue, and then we'll come back to it and we'll list what's relevant for our subject. Also, the three things that we mentioned at the beginning of this shah, gam hei mafsidel, they also work against it. In other words, he said there are three natural obstacles to appreciating Hashem's chesed. He discussed them, and he's saying these are also things that work against Bechina. So let's just lay out what these things are that he's been discussing. So first of all, in Shah Yichud, toward the end of Shara Yichud, in the last parak of Shara Yichud, it's the 10th parak of Shara Yichud, he said that he listed the things that work against internalizing Hashem's oneness. Now, a couple of them are very simple and completely not relevant to us, and that's basically believing that there's more than one deity. But obviously, once you believe that there are other forces involved, so you don't necessarily see Hashem's chesed. There's all kinds of competing forces doing these things. Okay. The ones that are relevant to us is something that it's just in general kedai to know from Shara Yichud. It's what he calls Shituf Hanelam. Shituf is a term for believing in another god. None of us believe in another gods. But the Chovos HaLevavos takes the concept of shituf. Shituf literally means joining or partnering, meaning attributing Hashem a partner or joining someone else into Hashem's class, so to speak. So he takes the concept of shituf a very delicate step further, and he says that shituf, putting someone else, adding a competitor to Hashem, is something that's quite relevant for many of us unless we work against it. In two ways. So first of all, people-pleasing. People-pleasing. If a person, in his Yiddishkeit, is out to please other people, to impress other people, to show other people how pious he is, the Chovos HaLevavos considers him guilty of shituf. Because in his worship, he's really worshiping two forces. He's worshiping Hashem, trying to please Hashem in his avoda, in his Yiddishkeit, and he's also worshiping people. He's trying to please and impress other people as well. If we're really serving Hashem as one, then all of our interests and our efforts in terms of our avodas Hashem are only directed towards Him. He's the only one we're trying to impress. He's the only one we're trying to please. So that's number one. But then number two, and this is what's going to be relevant to our subject. Now, the first one is discussed at length later in Mesilas Yesharim, Be'ezus Hashem. We'll get there. But number two is, he says, when a person pursues material lusts, material pleasures. Now, this is a fine point that has to be understood well. A person who enjoys material pleasures is not the discussion here. The Torah provides the means of enjoying material pleasures correctly, and enjoying the physical pleasures that Hashem put in our world can be a great supplement to our avodas Hashem. They can be part of the program of our ruchnis. They certainly don't have to conflict with it. But there's a fine line between that and turning it into a pursuit, living for it. There's a difference between physical pleasures enhancing my life and physical pleasures being the purpose of my life, what I live for. Again, this is a big subject that we're not going to talk about now, but the Chavis Halvavis, in his stark way, is coming and saying that that's another form of dual worship, because you are worshiping your own Taivis and you're also worshiping Hashem. You live for two purposes: to provide yourself with physical gratification and to serve Hashem. Now, this is something that will work against Bechina, because a big part of Bechina is not to take things for granted. And when a person's whole purpose in this world is the physical pleasures that he wants to enjoy, then it's very hard not to take them for granted. But you know what? This will really merge more into some of the points we're going to see further. And it's really the coming point. There's another step we have to take, and that is to review the three obstacles to Bechina that we discussed earlier, because he says that these are also going to work against gaining an appreciation of Hashem's chesed. In brief, what they were when a person's focus is always outward, what do I not yet have, which is the natural focus. We focus on what we don't have and would like, and not inward. We don't focus on what we already have. And when we get something we were looking forward to, our focus, we enjoy it for a little bit, and then our focus again turns outward. We become bored with it, the excitement wears off, and the focus again turns outward. That's the nature of materialism. The nature of materialism is that once you have it, it doesn't hold your excitement for that long. The excitement wears off. And again, the focus turns outward. What's next on the agenda? What can I get now? This works against Bechina. This works against appreciating Hashem's chesed, because that very, very much requires a constant and consistent and intent inward focus, focusing on what we do have and appreciating it. The next one, he said, was the fact that we grew up, we were born into so many of Hashem's chasadim with us, namely our body functions, our body parts, our limbs, that we just see them as a part of who we are. There's not something, anything special about it. Having eyes doesn't make it onto my list of chasadim. That's the starting point. The starting point is you have two eyes, two arms, two legs, etc., and a fully functioning body. Those are not chasadim. That's the starting point. And after that, what else is Hashem going to give me? So he says, being accustomed, the fact that we're accustomed to so much of the chesed that we have is another impediment to appreciating it. And the third, and this we spent a lot of time on, was when misfortune or suffering causes us to see a reality of suffering more than a reality of chesed. This was a delicate subject that we discussed at length earlier. We're not going to do it now. We might touch on it a little bit as we go on. But this Yes, when we talk about appreciating that we are surrounded by chesed, that we are drowning in Hashem's chesed, often if there are a number of problems in our lives or that we see in the world around us, it can create an impression of, what do you mean, there's just as many problems as chesed. So how am I supposed to experience Hashem as a Baal Chesed? So we discussed this earlier, but it is going to factor into the coming discussion as well. And the Chavis Salvavis goes on now to kind of bring these things together. In summarizing, what is the big challenge to appreciating Hashem's Chesed? Umehem. So now he says, one of the challenges, and this in a large way captures a number of the points that we talked earlier, is hageus betoivos habore, is a sense of arrogance, a sense of presumptuousness when it comes to Hashem's chesed. What does that mean? Sheachshev haksil hapesi, that the fool will think, ki huroi lahen liyoser mehem, that these things are coming to him, that he deserves him, that he deserves them. In fact, Hashem isn't doing enough for him. He deserves even more. Such a person is certainly not going to sense Hashem's chesed. If he feels entitled, so you don't feel a special sense of appreciation and gratitude for entitlements. The only question is, why didn't I get everything that I should have had? Therefore, he doesn't really note Hashem's chesed. He won't consider himself obligated to praise Hashem for them or to thank him. It's about such a person that the Chacham Shlomo HaMelech said, Tavas Hashem kol gvalev. Hashem considers anybody hori an abomination. So let's understand this. This is, again, a fine, delicate point. Chaim Salvavis often expresses things in harsh terms, and it's a little uncomfortable to see that these things can be very relevant to us. A person feels entitled, and this really is coming back to some of the points we made before. Let me give a mashal with an experience that I once had. I was once walking into a shul, and there were two people collecting money, two panhandlers were standing outside the shul. Two unfortunate-looking people. So I stuck my hand into my pocket to see whatever coins I had. And the first one, I came out with a shekel. I handed him a shekel. He said, thank you very much. The next one, again, my hand, what came out of my pocket next was a 5-shekel coin. A 5-shekel coin. And I handed it to the second person. All of a sudden, the first person said to me, that's zelo beseda, that's not okay. That's not okay. You gave him 5 and you gave me 1. Now, a moment ago, he was grateful with the 1 shekel I had given him. He was grateful. Maybe it was more than other people gave him. The moment I gave somebody else 5, the 1 shekel, not only was it not worth anything, but it was actually an insult and a wrong that I had done to him. Now, you know what? The truth is that had I been thinking about it a little bit beforehand, I probably would have taken the 6 shekel out of my pocket and broken it up and perhaps gave 3 to each. Fine. But let's note that. Let's note that. One person got A. Viewing that in a vacuum, it's a great gift. But then once you know that the other person got more than that, all of a sudden what you got was lousy and stupid. Now, here is where the Chavis Salvavis is driving his point home. In many cases, the reason that people have a hard time appreciating what Hashem gave them is because you say, what? Hashem did so much for me. He didn't give me this. He didn't give me that. The neighbor, that's a person that Hashem took care of. Look at her home, her car, her family, whatever it is. And therefore, relatively, what did Hashem do for me already? So this is a sense of entitlement. And also, so you tell the person, one minute, don't you have a working respiratory system? Don't you have working eyes? Shkoyach. So this is exactly that. It's a sense of entitlement. Whatever I have, of course I have that. Hashem should have given that to me. He created a person. He has to equip him with these things. The only question is, why don't I have more? Why don't I have more? And here is indeed something that's very much going to conflict with a sense of appreciation for what Hashem gave. If we want to develop an appreciation for Hashem, it has to start with the understanding that Hashem owes us absolutely nothing. And that the starting point is zero, but mamash zero. And zero includes things that are difficult to comprehend. I think we said the mashal about the anecdote, not mashal, I understand that it really happened, about the newlywed young woman who was showing her grandmother around her modern kitchen with all of its gadgets and with all of its fancy equipment, etc. And the grandmother is looking around and oohing and aahing over everything. And then she turns to her granddaughter and she says, if you were only able to choose one of all these things, one of the things that your kitchen is equipped with, what would you choose? The granddaughter thinks a little bit and she understands that many of these gadgets are not really necessary. And finally she says, okay, I guess I'd stick with the fridge. So the grandmother said to her, the fridge? What about running water? Running water wasn't even a part of the equation. Running water is so basic that that's not even considered something the kitchen is equipped with. But you know what? It really is. It's also one of the luxuries of the kitchen, right? In earlier times, water meant deciding how much you needed and going and schlepping it from the well. If you didn't want to do all the schlepping, then you paid a water carrier. You had to know how much you were going to use. Yeah, hot water had to be heated up. And running water is indeed a luxury, but since we're so used to it, that's automatic. Well, what it is basically, it's kind of like, if we put it into harsher terms, it's a sense of entitlement. Of course I should have running water. The question is, what else should I have? And this is what the Chavos HaLevavos is admonishing us about. I'll tell a tough story, a harsh story. But this is a harsh story told about one of the gentlest and most sensitive people that our Dor has known, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And when people like this, the people who were known for their softness, for their gentleness, for their sensitivity, the profiles like Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Reb Moshe Feinstein, it's dafka the stronger stories about them that really bring home a powerful lesson. There was a woman who came to Reb Shlomo Zalman and poured her heart out to him that she had no children. And she sat there and she was crying. And we must say that Reb Shlomo Zalman, knowing who he was, he probably understood the personality in front of him. He had a very keen sense of people and understood that this would do it for her. I doubt that he would have done this with most people. He's listening to her patiently, and he's hearing her cry her eyes out. And suddenly he said to her, there's a problem here. You think that Hashem owes you a child, but the truth is that Hashem owes you absolutely nothing. He doesn't owe you a thing. She looked at him like a little startled that this was his response. He said to her, Hashem already gave you plenty. You want him to give you more. Remember that he doesn't owe it to you. But remember this. If you will go and do things for other people that you don't have to do for them, that they aren't really entitled to, that puts you into a place where you'll earn zchusim of Hashem doing for you things that he doesn't have to do for you. The story, of course, ends. I don't know. I read this story. The story has to end that within a year she had a baby, because otherwise the story is left incomplete. I don't know. I don't usually like to tell stories of that nature where it turns out with the perfect happy ending. because as far as I'm concerned, the purpose of a story is its lesson. But let's just tell the story that way. Within a year, you know what? We'll even be generous. Within a year, she had quintuplets. Why not? I read one baby boy. Well, let's be more generous. Make the story even better. Within a year, she had quintuplets. But what is the point of the story? The point of the story is, yes, it's something of a harsh point, but the Chavis Halvavis is making that point. He's making the point of understanding that, yes, very often we can be sad about things that we sense we should have. Why should we have them? Because Hashem gave them to many other people. And as long as he didn't give it to me, then there's just something, there's an injustice here. But if you come from the perspective that actually start all the way from the beginning, start all the way from the beginning and start with the fact that, one minute, there was no given that you were going to get eyes. Not everybody has eyes. But you know what? There was no given in the first place that you were going to get a spark of life. There was no given for that either. Many cells, the vast majority of cells get wasted and never get that spark of life. It's one cell, I've forgotten how many thousands, that actually gets the spark of life. And that was you. That was you. That turned into you. And then, as you began to develop from the size of a cell, which I understand is approximately a 2,500th of an inch, so many decisions had to be made. Will you get working eyes? And Hashem decided, you will. You'll get two of them. You'll get two of them. You'll get a healthy set of lungs. You'll get a working set of kidneys. All of these things, to take a step back and think of as, did Hashem have to give me that? Was I entitled to that? And to really take a step back in terms of kind of picture yourself waiting online and waiting to hear, will Hashem decide to give me that or not? If you really take a step back and give a few minutes to really think of it in these terms, you can almost retroactively feel a sense of relief at the fact that, yes, Hashem decided to give you two working eyes. And every so often, you'll encounter the person in the street to remind you that, no, it wasn't a given. It wasn't a given. You don't have to be walking with a stick to see where you're going. And every so often, you'll bump into the person who does. And the same goes for your ears. Hashem will every so often put in your path a person who can't hear, so that you remember that when you were there standing in line and Hashem said, this person, two working ears. So really what we're doing now is really just going back and revisiting everything we've been discussing these weeks that we've been learning this prakim. But from this perspective, it's to attempt to overcome a sense of entitlement, a sense of course Hashem gave these things to me. The only question is, why didn't he give me more? Now, this really brings us to a very important point, which is another theme that threads the Chavis Halvavis. I'll put it this way. Although I don't know how many harsh things I want to say now, but the Chavis Halvavis is really trying to impress upon us a certain outlook, to open our eyes in a certain way, to understand that without hearing these harsh statements, we might mamish not be operating with Hashem as mentioned. It's not an issue of being pious. It's not an issue of being extra frum. It's an issue of being a mensch. I'm not going to get into this whole discussion now, but Rav Avigdor Miller used to say that when it came to discussions about the Holocaust, this is a big, obviously tough and delicate sugya in and of itself. But without getting into it now, we've gotten into it other times, and we probably will in the future as well, but this is not our discussion for now. He very, very much held that when people come and say, we don't know why Hashem did it, he had his secret reasons. We can't understand it. He used to say, it's a tzas Shema about Hashem. He had very strong opinions about why it happened, in ways that Hashem actually made clear in the Torah itself. And he felt that it's a certain slight to Hashem's honor to come and say Hashem did something terrible and we just have to accept that on faith. He felt offended for Hashem. And this is something that we see throughout the Chovos HaLevavos as well. It's wrong to just come and say, oh, well, we don't know why he didn't. Just leave it hanging that Hashem did certain things. We don't exactly approve of them, but he probably has his reasons. If Hashem made it clear to us why he would do these things, then we owe it to Hashem. It's like wrong toward Hashem. There's a certain lack of menschlichkeit in just coming and saying, oh, well, there's no way we can understand these things. There's no way this can make sense. But Hashem probably had his reasons. We'll try to give him the benefit of the doubt. He called it Hoitzas Shemra against Hashem. Hoitzi Shemra. The Chovos HaLevavos as well is offended on Hashem's, he's offended on Hashem's behalf. And he considers it when he sees lack of gratitude to Hashem, toward Hashem, stemming from a place of a sense of entitlement, he's offended. He's offended, and he speaks up on Hashem's behalf for Hashem's honor. Now, let's understand. The Chovos HaLevavos considers the basis of our service of Hashem a sense of gratitude, a sense of appreciation. And in the Chovos HaLevavos' world, a sense of gratitude, a sense of hakaras hatov, a sense of appreciation, is one of the most basic features of a decent human being. This is one of the profound elements of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Hashem says if a person cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em properly, then much of his service to me carries very little value. Because what I want is that you should be able to relate to me, understanding what I've done for you, and to be coming from a place of trying to reciprocate. If you can't do that for your parents, then you can't do that for me either. You're serving me, I don't know, maybe you figure there's something in it for you. You want Olam Haba. But I want more than that. I want a sense of appreciation. And therefore, if you can't be operating that way with your parents, then I don't consider it, there's a certain artificiality. There's a certain artificiality in your service to me also. In other words, Hashem wants us to approach him, first and foremost, not as an issue of religious piety, but as an issue of being a mensch. As an issue of being, I did a lot for you, I want you to realize that, and I want you to appreciate it. And therefore, we see a number of times throughout the Chovos HaLevavos that for him, Yiddishkeit, serving Hashem, davening, etc., is almost, we'll almost call it benodom lachaveiroi. It's an issue of menschlichkeit. We sometimes tend to think that there are the more religious areas, and then there's the more interpersonal areas. Benodom lachaveiroi is an issue of being a decent person, and benodom lamakom is more an issue of being pious, of being religious. But he's saying, no, it's all about menschlichkeit. It's all about menschlichkeit. Hashem is doing a lot for you. He wants you to realize that. And don't say, well, Hashem doesn't need it. The way Hashem set it up is that, yes, he does expect that that recognition. He does expect that appreciation. And the Chovos HaLevavos is telling us, if you want to view yourself as a mensch, then you have to be, if you want to view yourself as a decent human being, you have to be in this ballpark. You have to be in the ballpark of, yes, recognizing and realizing the things that Hashem is doing for me and not approaching it with a sense of entitlement. We all know that one of the most difficult dynamics in dealing with children is a sense of entitlement, is when they're just full of complaints toward you, but they just want to keep getting and getting and getting, right? This is one of the most difficult dynamics for a parent to deal with. And Hashem is saying the same thing. Don't do that to me either. Don't do that to me either. So the Chovos HaLevavos is coming and telling us, you have to let go of that sense of entitlement in order just to be a basic human being, a decent human being. And therefore, he quotes this pasuk that says, "Tevas Hashem kol gvalev." Hashem considers it an abomination if a person is haughty, meaning a person is haughty, feeling like, "Oh, what appreciation do I have Hashem already? What did He do for me already? He gave me eyes. Well, why shouldn't He give me eyes? He gave everybody else eyes also." This is called an abomination because we know that when we deal with people, if you come across a real ingrate who expresses his ingratitude very blatantly, we all look at him with a certain repulsion. We look at him with a certain repulsion, with a certain disgust. He's lacking a certain basic element of being a human being. And therefore, Hashem says, I consider this sort of behavior abominable also. Okay. So, again, to sum up, the point that the Chovos HaLevavos is bringing home here is the overcoming a sense of entitlement, a sense of, well, the things that I have, why shouldn't I have? And the only question is, why don't I have more? Okay. Now, we move on to the next step of this perek. And now he moves on to the next. The next stage is, and here we're continuing inside, as far as the things that should result from Bechina, meaning, as we've discussed a number of times, the Chovos HaLevavos is not laying out a collection of midas, of isolated midas. You have to work on this, you have to work on this, you have to work on this. He's laying down a program, a natural buildup of how one thing leads to another. And therefore, he says, if you really do appreciate Hashem's chesed, that should lead you to certain places. The process should continue to unfold. What's that? So, mehen, number one is, Shiavina Adam Teves Elikim Alav. A person should appreciate Hashem's chasadim to him. Meaning, again, as we've discussed a number of times, Bechina means studying what we see Hashem doing with us, what we see Hashem doing around us. But we have to make sure that the next step happens. Meaning, a person says, okay, I want to study the wonders of Hashem's world, and therefore I'm really going to study the wonders of the human heart. It's an amazing organ, miraculous. You read about it, and you're amazed and impressed, but you still might be missing a certain point. You're reading about the heart, but then you have to go to the next stage and say, this is the heart that's actually beating in me right now. Not just about the heart in general. This is the heart that's beating in me right now, and all those amazing things Hashem did for me in a personal way. In other words, yes, be amazed and then make it personal. Take it personally. Impress upon yourself the fact that this is something that you're experiencing, that's happening to you. Merge this into your own life experience. So that's number one. Take the Bechina, the study of what Hashem's doing, the appreciation of Hashem's handiwork, and internalize, experience how all this is going on with you. And where should that take you? That should lead you to a growing sense of gratitude, a growing sense of indebtedness, which should then lead to v'sheyekabel avodasoi ba'avuron, that you then start feeling committed to Hashem, and you feel a need to dedicate yourself to His service. This is really where the Chovos HaLevavos is going, and that's how it transitions into the next shah. If you've really, really internalized all the chesed that you're getting all the time, and you're really living with it in a sensory way, the natural feeling that should follow, again, from a person who's a properly developed, decent human being, is what can I do in return? In the Chovos HaLevavos' world, gratitude is one of the most fundamental traits of a decent human being, and part of gratitude is not being comfortable with the fact that I'm not doing anything for it. Not just sitting complacently and saying, I'm very grateful, I'm keeping my hands open and I want to keep getting, but to really start sensing, I don't want to just be on the receiving end. What can I do for it? And therefore, Bechina should lead a person to the next level, which is what? Avodas Elokim, to start really feeling more and more committed, more and more of a sense of devotion to Hashem and readiness to do for Him. But there's more that the Chovos HaLevavos says that this should lead to. That a person should constantly be impressing on himself Hashem's service, and he should not cease to delve into them, meaning as follows. Another part of the process should be that if I start really sensing that Hashem is doing so much chesed with me, and if I am an appreciative human being, then that should lead me to, whoa, if all this was going on that I was never properly conscious of until today, then who knows how much more there is for me to note. If I'm truly appreciative, and I consider it decent on my part to be appreciative of it, then I should make it my business to see what else is Hashem doing for me. What else am I not properly aware of? What else did I never notice enough? So therefore, discovering Hashem's chesed should drive a person to look for more of Hashem's chesed until this becomes an ongoing, lifelong process of looking to see Hashem's chesed in my life. And not stopping. When a person is really on this track, he will continue to have new insight and further insight and further appreciation every day. Now here we're already talking about very high levels. Again, the only person that I've seen who could actually perhaps living this way was Rabbi Avigdor Miller, who turned Bechina into an intense lifelong career. I don't know, I think that we can allow ourselves to say, if they were not quite on this level of approaching it so actively that every day we are unearthing more things, but we do live on a general track of noticing things, of internalizing the chesed, and looking out for more things, even if it's not such a prolific process as to be constantly seeing more and more, we're still on a very good track. But he says that the people who did live this way, say, David HaMelech, K'meish Omer, David HaMelech Olav HaShalom, David HaMelech did express it this way by saying, Yoyim liyoyim yabia oimer, every day has its own expressions of Hashem's chasadim. So this is step number two of this parak. Step number two of this parak is being attuned enough to understand where Bechina is supposed to lead you. Studying Hashem's chasadim, studying Hashem's wisdom, and internalizing it in our lives should lead us to a number of places. It should lead us to really be sensing it in a personal way, sensing how Hashem is doing this to me, not just that, wow, the heart is a great thing, and it was something amazing that Hashem innovated back when he created Adam, but rather this is something that Hashem provided for me in its full glory. Number two, a sense of dedication and devotion to Hashem, a sense of commitment to His service. And number three, to feel that it behooves us to be constantly on the lookout, to note and to appreciate more of Hashem's chasadim. The Chavis of Avos then concludes the Perek with the following point, which he considers a very fundamental point. And he concludes it with the following mashal. He says, there was a child who was born in a dungeon. He was born to a couple who were sentenced to life in the dungeon. He was born in a dungeon. He grows up in the dungeon. What does he know? The extent of his horizons are the dungeon's four walls. And every day, the warden brings in, this is a relatively decent dungeon, olden times, terms. Every day, the warden brings in three meals a day. And the kid actually knows that there are more cells around. So, and this is a thinking kid. He's a kid who has a chavis halavis mindset, and he thinks to himself, wow, the warden, I know that the warden is really just a representative of the king, which means that the king has enough resources. He's been providing us with a lot of food all these years. And not only that, but I know that there are another three cells to the right and three cells to the left, and all this food the king is providing on a regular basis. And he's friendly with the warden. So he says to the warden one day, you know, I was thinking about it. We have a pretty capable king. He's able to provide meals for these seven families every single day on such a regular basis. And that's not something to take lightly. We're talking about every noontime, a bowl of soup for each person. That's 21 bowls of soup he provides every day. And the warden looks at the kid and said, are you kidding? This dungeon is one tiny part of the king's palace, which is itself one tiny part of the king's kingdom. You have your own experiences and your own exposure, and therefore you think you've encompassed the greatness of the king, his ability, his kindness. There's a whole kingdom out there that you can't even comprehend. It's so much beyond anything that you've experienced. And therefore, when you gain your appreciation of the king, say, this is what I was able to sense in terms of my own life's experiences. But I realize that all that is really just a drop in the bucket in terms of what this king really is. So the Chavis HaVavis ends off Shah B'china by admonishing us, when you do engage in this, and you really do start broadening your horizons and appreciating Hashem's chasadim and Hashem's greatness and Hashem's wisdom, keep reminding yourself that everything you see is just your own very limited box of exposure. But actually, Hashem's greatness extends so much beyond your world, so much beyond all of Earth, so much beyond our universe. And remind yourself that at the end of the day, it's all just a drop in the bucket. Don't think that now I understand, wow, I've really encompassed who Hashem is. Okay, we will end with that for this week. I'm going to turn off the recording and then I make another comment.